Welcome to Create Your Bliss with Nika Annan, exploring people who have created lives out of what passionately engages them. Today we have the wonderful opportunity of speaking with Patricio Dominguez. Patricio is a clan father of One People Tribal Nation, which he will tell us what that is. He is on the board of directors of the Institute of Natural and Traditional Knowledge, an educational institution devoted to creating a new culturally tolerant society. He's the founder and is on the board of directors of the Church of the Spiritual Path, which is dedicated to preserving spiritual values through healing ceremonies and observance of cultural and astrological events. He is the co-owner of Traditional People Medicinal Herbs, an entity organized to preserve the ancient traditional herbal knowledge of indigenous peoples of the world. He is also past president of the Native Earth Biocultural Council, formed to plan and hold annual symposiums on food, seed, sovereignty, and sustainable agriculture. Patricio has been a participant of the Elders and Youth Council of North America since the 90s. He was the North American coordinator for the first, second, and third gatherings of the Confederation of the Indigenous Elders and Priests of America, the coming together of the Eagle and the Condor, that were held in Guatemala, Colombia, and the United States. Welcome, Patricio. Thank you for joining us today.
Well, thank you, Nika. I'm glad to be on the show, and I hope you have some really interesting questions, because usually I respond very well to the questions that I'm asked, and those are my launch point. So I'll take it away.
What is One People Tribal Nation?
Okay. One People Tribal Nation is a response to something that I guess has been bubbling in the subconscious of a lot of people in the world today, or at least particularly in the United States. One People Tribal Nation is a fulfillment of the prophecy that when things started going afoul in this world, that there would arise a new tribe of people that would bring back the order and balance to the world by awakening the ancient knowledge and wisdom that allowed people to live in harmony and balance with the earth, because that is what is taking the humanity and the planet down. The reason for the extinction of animals, the reason for the great suffering in the world today, is that people are not living in harmony, in balance with nature. The humans have somehow gotten a misconception that they are the wards of the planet, and maybe even further than that, that they are the dominators of the planet, and the planet is for them to use as they wish. And they pretty much don't have to respond respectfully to its actions and activities. And that mindset has caused human beings to lose the perspective that they are part and parcel of nature itself. For some reason, somehow this feeling of dominance has made them feel that they are one step above nature.
So, and how do we create the difference? So, what is it that we're trying to move back to, and what is the belief system of One People Tribal Nation? I think we know what doesn't work, but how do we envision what does work?
One People Tribal Nation is an organization that was assembled by wise people.
Mm-hmm.
in its charter, there is outlined quite a few steps that are required in order to get back to harmony with nature and living in balance with nature. So that is what is required. Now, I suppose what I could do real quick is read from the charter so that way we
Let's later refer people to that.
Okay.
But I would like to get you to talk a little bit about what it feels like to have a different belief than dominance, because I think some people don't know what else there is.
Okay.
And how does that feel? How do you be as a being on the planet as a participatory equal with all the other amazing sacred creatures here?
The reason that I said earlier is that One People Tribal Nation is an emergence, an expression of the subconscious that has been bubbling.
Mm-hmm.
If you ask any young person between the ages of 5 and 25 and ask them if they think that humanity is on track to go into the future, they will flat out tell you that they don't believe it is. They will tell you flat out that consumerism is not a path to existence, to a long-standing existence. They will tell you that competition is not the course that human beings should be on, that in fact what is required is some kind of system that respects other human beings, that respects nature, that understands that you have to use the resources in a fashion that allows them to recuperate at the rate at which you are using them. Because what the young people have already come to grips with, because they're born with a little bit more consciousness, that they are aware that we live on a finite planet with finite resources, and the current system is treating the resources as if they were infinite, and they immediately grasp that this is a problem. So I don't have to, nobody has to convince them that a change is required. What is required is giving them a pathway towards a life that is living in that kind of balance. So the traditional people, the ancient tribes, lived that way. They lived them naturally. I don't know if it was naturally. Who knows how many trials and errors it took to get to that place? But they were living in a way that was in harmony and balance with the resources, and they would not fish more than the river could produce, and you know that sort of mindset. What is necessary now, and One People Tribal Nation is providing, is a culture that is a way of life that is not consumer, that's not consumer oriented, that is, and that has part of its tenets living in harmony and balance. And you know, like I said, there are some very specific thoughts that are put into the charter. So anyone that joins the tribe basically says that they are going to live by these tenets. Mm-hmm. And of course, the whole reason for presenting a tribe to people, because you know, yes, you know, people can live by the tenets of sustainability on their own. However, the reason for going tribal and not just living sustainably on your own is that in order to make the necessary change on the big scale, because there are a bunch of people out there that are not ready to make the change, mm-hmm. but need to be convinced to do so if the change is going to be made. So it's going to take a numbers thing. In other words, what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to show that some percentage of the population has banded together in order to press the issue. Now, one person writing to Congress saying we really should live sustainably is not going to get it. However, if a tribe made up of 10 million people, which is not really very much considering there's 300 million people in the United States, mm-hmm. but if a tribe of 10 million people that says this country really needs to start living in a more balanced way, an impact can be made. So that is the reason for tribalizing. Otherwise, there is really no reason for tribalizing, because living sustainably can be done one-on-one. Although I heard recently that in some states it is illegal to live off of the grid, no matter how wealthy you are.
That's but crazy. It, yeah.
Yes, it's a fact. Right. In Florida and in a couple other states, it is illegal to live off the grid. Now, you can have solar power in your house, but you still have to be connected to the grid, because if you produce more solar power than you consume, they expect you to put it back into the grid. So you have to be connected to the grid. So you cannot be independent of the system. Now, a tribe that has enough members can certainly push legislation to get rid of silly laws like that, but one individual cannot. So that is the real political reason for one people tribal nation. But then there are other reasons. Another reason for one people tribal nation is human beings are very social, and they want to be part of something. And one people, a tribe and a clan and all that, gives them that feeling of belonging. Because right now there are, like I said, people that don't feel comfortable belonging to a country that is wrong-headed about the relationship with nature. It is not very comfortable for them to say, I am a member of a country that is not very respectful of people, of rights of animals, of rights of nature. So it gives them an identity that they can be comfortable with. When you say, I am a member of one people tribal nation, well, then you, and somebody says, well, what does that mean? That means I believe that Mother Nature is to be respected. I believe that nature has rights. I believe that human beings should live on a planet sustainably, and these kind of things. Mm-hmm. Now, you have that when you say, I am a member of one people tribal nation. You do not have that when you say, I am a citizen of the United States. Because the United States right now is doing some very, very not so comfortable things. And you feel a little awkward when you have to tell people that I am a member of the United States. Well,
so what is it like to be a member? You're a clan father. So what is it like on a personal level? And is this partially a virtual community?
It's a virtual community at this point in time, because again, we are living within the boundaries of a nation state. And the nation state that is the United States
But like, can we take this back to a personal, like if somebody's looking and saying, how does being part of One People Tribal Nation affect my daily life? What's a clan father? How do I do daily ceremony? Who's my community? That level of question.
Your community, the fundamental unit of the tribe is the clan.
Okay.
The clan has two people that are key to making it up, and they are the clan mother, who is number one in making it up, and then the number two person is the clan father, who the clan mother chooses. Now, I was chosen by our clan mother to be clan father, and clan father deals with the political aspects of the tribe, and maybe some of the more more outward aspects of it. But the clan mother is responsible for the deeper aspects. Clan mother sets the pace for the deeper aspects of the culture, the child rearing, the ceremonies, the dances, the interpersonal relationships, and the deeper aspects. Like you said, let's make it personal. Well, who decides when we have to do a ceremony, when we have to dance, when we don't have to do,
the important things in life.
yeah, all those things that is determined by the clan mother. And a clan probably should not reach anything greater than 100 members. If a clan gets bigger than that, it should split and form another clan, because, again, what does it mean to be in the tribe personally? Well, personally, it means that you know your brothers and sisters. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if there's too many of them, you can't know them. Mm-hmm. So when you do either ceremony with them or some kind of a social event, it'd be nice to know them. And so that's what it means. It means having a family that is approximately 100 members, which is a nice, comfortable size, enough for you to have a really good social gathering, and yet small enough so that you can actually feel like you know everybody.
Mm-hmm. And would these ceremonies be things that are, I don't quite know how to phrase it, like envisioned and brought to and are indigenous to One People Tribal Nation, so basically created within that?
Yes, One People Tribal Nation is going to have to generate its own ceremonies and social events. We do not want to get into a situation where the more established tribes can level the accusation of cultural appropriation at us. Mm-hmm. Now, admittedly, there's going to be some similarities, because living in harmony basically is living in harmony and balance, and ceremonies are ceremonies, and there will be some similarity. Mm-hmm. And however, we are not going to appropriate word for word, action for action ceremonies from the established nations. That is not what we're going to do. However, you know, we are going to take cues from some of the things that they have done. Like, we are going to have naming ceremonies, but they're not going to look like theirs. We are going to have, you know, cleansing ceremonies, but hopefully not exactly like theirs. We are going to have, all the other requisites that are part and parcel of living in a tighter social unit.
Right, right.
But also, One People Tribal Nation has already chosen to make English the official language of the tribe. So we will not be appropriating any other group's language.
Right.
And since the people in the United States have not been using that language tribally, we feel very comfortable using it for our purposes. However, we understand that a certain amount of spiritualization is going to have to happen to make English more suitable to the culture that one people has, because there are some words that will have to be redefined a little bit or massaged, or maybe new words would have to be added to the vocabulary in order to make this language a little bit more appropriate for a culture that is living in harmony and balance with nature, and that is a little bit more social. Because right now, the dominant culture isn't very social. I mean, it's barely maintaining the basic family unit. What do they call that?
Right, the
nuclear family. It's barely maintaining that, and not very well.
I mean, the amount of the language. I wanted to ask you, because English is such a subject, verb, object, a causal and acting upon language, that I think one of the maybe really exciting things would be, how do you take a language that is so mired in space and time and causality and make it a living that talks about all the contextual relationships that we're in every day?
It is the challenge of the tribe. However, nobody said that forming a new tribe was going to be easy.
Yeah.
However, we are counting on the momentum of the people to do it, because, like I said, there are people out there that are very dissatisfied with the course that we're on now, and will do whatever it takes to get. I mean, let's face it, there have been intentional communities attempted in the past, and some of them have existed and are existing to this day. They don't have the big numbers that we'd like to see, but then again, intentional communities have to be grounded in reality in the terms as they have to have land and space. The One People Tribal Nation, because it is a virtual nation, basically does not have to have land and space. It only has to have community.
Right.
So people within a reasonable distance coming together basically is that community and is the clan. So we don't have those kind of problems, I suppose that this will be the fix that makes One People Tribal Nation thrive.
Well, it seems very exciting, because then you also have, I really see it connecting to the virtuality, and where there's clusters and then those are connected and those are connected. And so it's very easy to come together as a large group for impact, even if you're physically not present to one another. Like, everybody doesn't have to be in the same place or living off the same resources or anything, but you have like-minded. And it sounds to me like growing up in New Mexico, one of the things that you hear sometimes is that there are people who are, used to be called wannabes, but who know that there is a spiritual element lacking in the culture that they were raised in, and don't find it in a traditional religious structure, and who are really looking for a life of ceremony and a life of awe, I guess, is to live in awareness of the vitality of the planet we live in with other people. And it sounds to me like that's one of the things also that this is addressing. I mean, when you talk about the traditional medicinal herbs and the biocultural and sustainability, it's also, though, how to see us ourselves as a part of that.
Yes, this actually is the real challenge for those people, for the wannabes, because this actually puts them on the line. Do you really want to be?
Right.
Because here is an invitation to be.
Mm-hmm.
You can register with a tribe. There is a tribal council. There is a tribal office. There is a tribal role. This is now real. Are you really up to making it real? Would you put your name on the line saying, I am a member of One People Tribal Nation? And One People Tribal Nation is a nation that will not kick you out. Mm-hmm. Because that's another thing that is, you know, this is not the Kiwanis Club. This is not any kind of a group where, you know, when you become a member of the tribe, just like if you joined a traditional tribe, no, just like it's if you were born into a traditional tribe, mm-hmm. you are now a member of the tribe, and there is no force on earth that can kick you out because you have been accepted as a member of the tribe. Now, you might remove yourself from the tribal activities, but you will never not be a member of the tribe. Or you could be a former member of uh-huh. One People Tribal Nation, but and here's another thing. If you have children and you are a member of the tribe, your children are members of the tribe.
That's very important. And that
yes,
there's
it
a
is.
Place for children, and that the ceremonies include the wisdom that children bring.
And so, you know, it's not one of those kind of things where, you know, this is the beginning of a new tribe. People down the road will say, well, what tribe were you born into? And I was born into One People Tribal Nation. You know, my parents were members, and so I'm a member, and on. And who knows, you know, seven generations down the road, One People Tribal Nation, they won't even remember that it was a new tribe.
Mm-hmm.
It will, you know, if it in fact has a large membership, I see it being able to sail on into the future just wonderfully. In fact, I honestly think One People Tribal Nation has the potential of influencing the traditional tribes to get back in line. I have recently heard that there are some tribes that are ousting members.
Mm-hmm.
For not having, quote unquote, the right blood quantum. Well, you know what? Tribe isn't about blood quantum. Tribe is about living by a set of principles. It is a culture. It's not about what percentage of blood you have.
About whether or not you're BIA certified.
Yeah, BIA certified. No, it's whether or not you are going to live like a respectful human being. That's what will make you a tribe. Now, you could be a bad tribal member. You could be a member of the tribe and live foolishly. But we're not going to kick you out for that. We're hoping maybe to rescue the children that you leave behind and turn them into decent human beings.
Mm-hmm.
But that will be the challenge of the tribe, but we're not kicking anybody the heck out. In fact, actually, blood quantum is not going to be an issue. In fact, right now there are three people in One People Tribal Nation that were members of the old tribes, but are now members of One People Tribal Nation.
And so it's really an attempt to, or an intention, I think I'd like to use that word better, to create a new culture that includes tolerance, that includes a level of acceptance and personal responsibility, which we all seem to have fallen away from recently. Doesn't seem to be the focus anywhere anymore.
No, that's a problem, isn't it? And we want to, in fact, maybe I think there is something wrong with some of the traditional tribes is they were unwilling to let people in. They mm-hmm. should have been more inclusive rather than exclusive. They should have been inclusive. Who knows how big these tribes could have been if they let people in, but they didn't. They were trying really hard to put people out. Well, One People Tribal Nation accepts membership from every race. There is no race that you could belong to that we will not accept membership from.
That's beautiful. And how do we heal the tendency towards the belief in domination? Power over. Because I think that's a big piece of the whole planetary
movement. Yes, it's a big
piece.
It's a big piece of the puzzle, and it really depends on how strong your clan is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody that joins a tribe already knows the principles. Mm-hmm. They know the principles, at least on an intellectual level. It is the task of the clan mothers and the clan father to get this infused into the lifestyle of the members of the clan. Another reason to keep the clans small,
mm-hmm.
so that you can work with them, get them to go to ceremonies, get them to participate in the social events so that they can become steeped in the culture and start living it.
So I've done some work with, they call family constellations, where you bring in the ancestors and you do healing that way. That was brought back from by a German Freudian from his participation in some Zulu ceremonies. And in our experience in your kiva the other night, I felt that there was a part there which in that everybody shows up with their peace, and whoever needs to show up in their ancestral and ancestrals, including the elements and the celestials and the plants and the animals and the insects and the earth and all that is our ancestry. That's a part of, because one of the things that we have in our culture is our law took over, and we don't have how to work things out and how to cooperate and how to resolve and heal in community. And so I guess I'm asking how that works, and I'm saying that I saw a path to that in the ceremony.
Yeah, you saw it work. Actually, you saw it work. You participated in one of the ceremonies of One People Tribal Nation, and you got to feel that. And it's like I said, there is no race mm-hmm. that is excluded from being a membership. So if you are a member of One People Tribal Nation, that means your ancestors are accepted as members, and they can come in and bring their pieces of the puzzle into the picture and make the picture even more complete, especially if you go back into some of several generations back. They are definitely going to bring in the right kind of mindset, mm-hmm. because this consumerism thing is really a very short thing. Tribal wisdom and tribal consciousness is not that far removed from us. There is still a vestige of tribalism in all of us, and it's definitely in our ancestors.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a matter of bringing it out in ourselves, and one of the way is to remember consciously our ancestors. In doing that, we remember their lives and their lifestyles and their culture, and it was probably more suited to life on this planet than the culture that is currently trying to dominate it at this point in time.
Yes. So can you talk about the Church of the Spiritual Path too?
The Church of the Spiritual Path is the underlying legal structure for the ceremonies that are done by the One People Tribal Nation. In that, because One People Tribal Nation does have a spiritual component, it needs to have a recognized spiritual authority to operate in the, in, you know, again, the problem that One People Tribal Nation has is that it is located within the boundaries of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And so it needs, and in the United States, you just can't do stuff in a vacuum. So if you're going to do spiritual things, the system expects that you have a structure. So, you know, the church is that structure to give it its legitimacy. Otherwise, you know, you run afoul of the system. So, and incidentally, though, the church is much older than One People Tribal Nation. In all honesty, the church is like 40 years old. It was founded way back then, and its principles were about being sustainable, about living in balance and in harmony with nature. That was some of the tenets of the church, mm-hmm. way back when the church was established. Now, so it was a natural dovetail when One People Tribal Nation came along. So already there was a church that already had many of the principles that the new tribe had adopted. So the spiritual component was already, established and existing in a legal framework.
That's helpful.
Yes, it was. It was very, very helpful. And otherwise, it would have had to have been created anew, because, you know, right now, you know, a new tribe. Living within the boundaries of the United States wouldn't be recognized as having a spiritual authority. It would be treated much like a social unit, and it would be considered something like the Kiwanis Club or the Lions Club or something like that, where you have membership and it would not be. Beyond the social would not be recognized. The spiritual component would have no legal framework.
So this sounds, Patricio, like this is a long time dream of yours. So what hunger brought this into your life? What has led you on the path that you have followed with such passion and such capacity to create?
Well, actually, I was initiated as a spiritual leader when I was 5 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So that, of course, was the reason for my spiritual passion.
They got a hold of you, and that you can't get your life back.
I had no control of, but the outgrowth of like One People Tribal Nation started from a situation that occurred when I was in my mid-20s mid-20s. I was invited to a conference of indigenous people, mm-hmm. to discuss various aspects of a changing world, because, you know, we've been noticing the world is changing for quite some time, and it was more of a round table about, you know, well, what are we going to do, what should we do, how are we going to address the current situation, how should we address it, what should we do, maybe we should write proclamations, maybe we should become more active in the social world, and blah, you know, and a lot of these things were proposed and discussed. There was one situation, though, that was the trigger point for me. There was this one little tribe up from northern it was actually a Canadian tribe. Mm-hmm. And It was British Columbia. It was in British Columbia. They attended this conference because they were hoping that at this conference some kind of resolution or proclamation could come forth to help them in a situation that they were experiencing. What had happened was a logging company was about ready to clear cut a large swath of their homeland. And being a small tribe of like maybe 400 or 500 tribal members, they did not have the wherewithal to fight the corporation and the government that gave the corporation permission to clear cut the land that they lived on. Mm-hmm. They came to this conference hoping that these elders, that the tribal people would organize and as a group and make some kind of an effort to present as a group to the government and to the corporation that would hopefully have some bearing on the situation, that would have more clout than just this small tribe making a noise saying, well, that's our land and, you know, you're not respecting it and we need it to live and that sort of stuff. But the resolution, and I carried the resolution, I actually put the resolution on the table, the resolution did not carry. The resolution failed because the people got so involved in the discussion and the conversation that they ran out of time. They literally had to vacate the premises that they were in because they had only rented it for a period of time, and the conference ran out of time and a resolution was not made. At that point, I made a personal vow. I said, never again will a small tribe face an international corporation or a government alone. And I have been working from that day to create some kind of organization that would be made up of a large body of people and hopefully organized people that would help smaller groups in this kind of situation.
That's a very beautiful dream, because we hear so much all over, the people who are fighting fracking, the Amazonian people who are fighting to keep from having their homelands bulldozed.
And wouldn't it be nice if there was a council of traditional people or a league of tribes that mm-hmm. could intervene
and but speak there up is, and unify
yes, as right. a uni- as a unified voice? But yes. to date there is none.
No, there isn't.
But it has been my dream to do this, and hopefully One People Tribal Nation, should it organize, I think can be an instrument of organizing the other tribes. If it shows enough courage, promise, and clout, it can be the catalyst for this kind of thing.
So this sounds like a real commitment to change one's life.
It is. It is. If you sign up as a member of this tribe, you are accepting the principles of the tribe.
Sounds like traditional, and I don't mean that. I mean in all the beautiful ways that there it is. Once you're in, you're in. Yeah. That's very it's very deep.
So anyway, my involvement, and is from my bio that you read, it said that I have been a member of the traditional people's the elders right. council for since the 90s. Well, that I actually allowed myself to become part of that with the intention of steering the elders of the traditional council towards that end. However, it proved to not be fruitful in that the traditional council of elders wishes to remain on the spiritual level. And so, they, even though they are painfully aware of the situation,
that's not their role. Yeah.
It is not their role. They are, their role is they are keepers of the wisdom and knowledge, and they exchange, we exchange wisdom and knowledge amongst ourselves to keep it alive. But it stays at that level. So the Elders Council will never be the vehicle for the, for what I just described. However, it does not mean, it does not mean that a League of Nations made up of a League of Tribal Nations could not be established. Once we have the willingness of nations to assert themselves and operate in a league. See, there is a, that's another problem that that is a casualty of the current system, is the dominant culture has cowed the nations, the traditional nations, into believing they have no power. They have no authority except what the United States gives them. And even though they are sometimes talking about autonomy and they're talking about sovereignty and they have made efforts to become more of a voice in their lives and the way the United States treats them, I know there has been some efforts by some tribes to assert their sovereignty and try to become create more of a government-to-government relationship with the United States. It has been very, very lukewarm and tepid because they're walking very softly in that.
Right.
There is a timidity is the word I was looking. There is a timidity that has, that was an outgrowth or I should say an outcome of the very harsh repression that the dominant government placed on them, and they've not quite been able to come out of that.
To shake that off. I wanted to ask too, or talk a little bit about the radical experiment that the creation of the United States was and how it really was based consciously and intentionally by people on Native American precepts. You know, that it was based on what they had learned from the Iroquois League of Nations.
It was a very...
It was very radical.
It was a radical, but it was also not based on the principles. It was based on some of the ideas.
Okay.
If in fact... Mm-hmm. It would have been based on the Iroquois tradition, there would be no president.
Mm-hmm.
There would be a council of clan mothers.
Mm-hmm.
There would be no Senate, or there would be no Congress. It would be a council of elders. It is a mistake to think that the United States was built on the principles of the Six Nations Confederacy. They took only the idea of bodies working together and used that concept and none of the details.
Mm-hmm.
It took hundred years for women to be recognized as even being citizens of this state.
Mm-hmm.
Iroquois Confederacy, the principles that you said founded the United States, put the clan mothers at the very top. The clan mothers choose, like in using the analogy of the United States, the clan mothers choose the president.
Mm-hmm.
They're not voted in by the men. They're not voted in by they're not even voted in by the population, by the tribes. The clan mothers choose the chiefs, and unchoose them should they
need to
should the need arise.
Yeah.
So that is, you know, it's not. I'm sorry. It's false to think that. I know. It makes for a good story, but it's inaccurate.
No, that's true. And it was a good clarification that you made. And yet at the same time, what they did in this country was so far from where it came from. And what a lot of people in this country came out of indigenous populations in other parts of the world. And this
what
has
we
happened.
What we can learn from the creation of the United States is that a people can rise above an oppressive government and form a new government. It is possible. It has been done. It is possible for people that want to live in harmony and balance with nature to form a new nation called One People Tribal Nation. It is possible for them to do so. And it doesn't have to be bloody. It doesn't have to be radical. Well, it will be radical, but it doesn't have to be violent. And it can be done by just tapping into the consciousness and the consensus that is already there and bringing it together by providing the vehicle for it to come together.
And is this right now only happening in America? Does it include Canada and Latin America? Is it open? It is
open.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, there is an attempt to start a clan in Norway or Sweden. I can't remember exactly what it was. One of the women that came to the gathering of elders that was held recently, who was from a foreign country, and heard about One People Tribal Nation, they contacted the tribal office and said, if we start a clan here in this country, could we petition for acceptance and membership into One People Tribal Nation? Of course, the office responded in the affirmative.
Wonderful. So that's exciting because
yes, the only requirement is, of course, that that the people adopt the principles that are outlined in the charter.
Mm-hmm. This is a really beautiful, beautiful vision.
Yes, again, just came out of the ground. There's a the story of how it was born is just absolutely fascinating. If people go to the website and take a look at the story of the creation story of One People Tribal Nation, it is unbelievably it's an unbelievable story. Actually, if you have the time. If you actually have the time, I can read it. It's not long. It's about a 3 or 4 minute read.
It's about what we have. It's a close call, but maybe not. Maybe we should.
Okay.
Let's give them the website and
let's
any
give
other-
them the website, onepeopletribalnation.org. And the story, the creation story is in the portion that's called the nation structure, and more more information is on there. There is a pictures and videos, and there's another page that talks about the prophecies, because there are prophecies related to. There is prophecies related to this. There's a prophecy by Chief Crazy Horse. He said, Upon suffering beyond suffering, the red nation shall rise again, and it shall be a blessing for the sick world, a world filled with broken promises, selfishness, separation, a world longing for light again. I see a time of seven generations when all the colors of mankind will gather under the sacred tree of life, and the whole earth will become one circle again. In that day, there will be those among the Lakota who will carry knowledge and understanding of unity among all living things, and the young white ones will come to those of my people and ask for this wisdom. I salute the light within your eyes where the whole universe dwells, for when you are at that center within you, I am that place within me, and we shall be as one. This is a statement by Crazy Horse as he sat smoking the sacred pipe at Pahasapa with Sitting Bull for the last time, four days before he was assassinated on September 1st, 1877. And then there's a Hopi prophecy that says something very similar, although it is more, it talks more about the creation of a new tribe. In this prophecy that I just read, they talk about white people coming to them to learn the sacred ways. Well, of course, you know, what does that mean? If you come to the traditional people to learn their sacred ways, well, now you can't really join them because right. Obviously, you know, that's not part of the system. However, if you learn these sacred ways, now you want to live them. And the only way to live them is to put them into practice, and that means forming your own tribe.
Which is what you're doing, and I'm which very is sorry. What yeah. We have about 30 seconds left, Patricio.
Okay.
So thank you so much.
Thank you, and thank you for giving me the opportunity to share this information. Actually, if you hadn't asked, it would not have been presented because this information, I don't release it unless it's asked for.
Well, thank you very much for all that you do. This is Patricio Dominguez, and go to One People Tribal Nation if you're interested. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, everyone.